Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Continuing our coverage of the Ukraine-Russia war, we are joined once again by Tempisa Fukuda, political analyst at Africa-Asia Dialogue. Good morning. Thanks for updating us again. How are you doing? Good morning, Tembisa Fukuda. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Oh, there we go. Absolutely. Now we can hear you loud and clear. What is the latest coming from the region?
Well, the situation still remains the same. Russia continues to bombard cities in Ukraine. Mariupol is one city that's on the news at the moment, where Russia has demanded that Ukraine basically surrender. And that will be the only way they'll allow the civilians who are currently trapped in there a safe passage into other areas. So the proposal on the table from the Russians is that the Ukrainians must surrender in Mariupol, and then they can open that safe passage. So, and other diplomatic efforts continue. We know that President Biden today will be in Poland having additional discussions on how to first continue tightening the snares around Putin's neck, but at the same time looking at other measures of augmenting and supporting the Ukrainian army as they continue to fight the Russians. But what's been interesting is I saw a map yesterday on CNN showing the advances of the Russian forces about 10 days ago, and today there hasn't been much movement, which indicates that the Ukrainians are really putting a tough fight against the Russians.
And we've got this talk of the a possible conversation between Putin and Zelensky. He's, of course, been talking to every parliament and every organization that is willing to hear him. How's he being perceived at the moment?
Well, I mean, he spoke to at least, I'm not quite sure whether the presentation at the Knesset has happened, but
yes,
I know that
has,
there was a plan for him.
And, it was very interesting because it wasn't particularly well received. To some extent, there was a feeling that he overplayed his hand, talking about, evoking the Holocaust and the Jewish final solution, saying a final solution of Ukraine, and it made people quite uncomfortable. He almost pushed it a little bit too hard for public perception. That's why I'm fascinated by how he's being perceived.
Well, that's what we talked about last week, if you remember, that he was likely to start putting a foot in his mouth because he's unfiltered in terms of how he goes about lobbying for support. Yes, we do understand that the Ukrainians deserve support, but the way he's currently doing it is a problem, and it was a matter of time before he started offending certain people. But he has said that he wants to speak to Putin. I'm not quite sure whether Putin will want to speak to him at this point in time, because that would be a sign of defeat. But we know that there are other background discussions that are taking place between military top brass of Russia and NATO in terms of trying to solve the current standoff. Whether Putin is aware of those or not is another story, because there are people who are suggesting that these are taking place outside Putin's knowledge, with many of these people realizing that we might just find ourselves in a third world war. And to prevent this madman from continuing to do what he's doing, the best thing to do is for them to start talking. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But there are calls, and Volodymyr Zelensky has said it a long time ago that he would like to meet Putin without conditions. Whether that will happen, we'll have to wait and see.
It's also fascinating to see the amount of pressure being placed on the oligarchs. They've been cut off at all sorts of stages, not able to live the life that they were living in the past. I would imagine that the reason that is happening is to force them to pressurize Putin. Do we know anything about that?
Well, yes. I mean, we know that Roman Abramovich, the former owner, he's the one who basically about, in fact, he said that the proceeds of the sale of the club will go towards people of Ukraine, or in time to reconstruct Ukraine. So the oligarchs are under pressure. As you said, used to a very good, easy life, and suddenly that's been squeezed. Their money has been frozen. Their property has been confiscated in the West. Whether that will be returned to them or not when the dust settles, nobody knows. But it is them, it's hoped, that will put pressure on Putin and his henchmen to begin to talk to the West and de-escalate in Ukraine. And that's the hope. But the other thing is, I think what some of them are also hoping, that is the NATO nations and the Western nations, is that by squeezing Russia, you are likely to have an internal insurgence from the civilians in Russia when they start, for example, getting retrenched, when they start not getting certain services, etc. So you are likely to see them revolting against Putin. So that is likely to happen, not only from the oligarchs, but also from the civilians
in other words,
are now feeling the pain.
In other words, it'll happen at every different level. Tempisa Fukuda, thank you, as always, political analyst at Africa Asia Dialogue, bringing us the latest from the Russia-Ukraine war. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.